The Disney Nerds Podcast is sponsored by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time on rides at Walt Disney World. Be sure to visit TouringPlans.com and use discount code 15NERDS.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 133 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we've got a great premise. We're going to be doing Armchair Imagineerding. But before we get to that and explain what that's all about, let's say hello to who we have on the show this week. Let's start out with Jennifer. Hey, Jennifer. How's it going?
Good. I was just thinking, Ed, I have not been on a show with you in ages. So good to be back.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. Definitely. Although I was able to edit that show with you on it just recently, so it almost sounds like I was there with you.
That's right. Well, and we also were on that episode most recently when you guys started it out, and then Sam, Jimmy, and I finished it. So there we go. We can pretend
Very
that one was together.
Very good. Very good. Also tonight, we have Charlotte with us. Hey, Charlotte, how's it going?
It's going great, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Oh, sure. Sure. And last but not least, Jimmy. How's it going, Jimmy?
I am fantastic. And before we get started, we were listening to Sam talk about touringplans.com before you did the intro there. And I just wanted to say, you know, people ask me all the time, especially when they call me to book a trip or ask me for advice about planning a trip to Walt Disney World. That is like the number one, other than call me as your agent, touringplans.com is like the number one tip I give to people. There's just so much information there. It's a great resource. The Lines app, the way you can pick a room and have them fax it over to your resort for you, it really can't be beat.
Yeah, oh no, I totally agree. I get a lot of information when I plan my trips out over there. The crowd calendar itself is priceless.
Yeah, that's where I start every time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, and one more shout out to Sam. Sam, I hope you're making a lot of money on that convention. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be doing a session of Armchair Imagineerding. Now, to explain what that is, we basically put together two of our favorite terms. First, armchair as well. That's just the comfortable way to go. Imagineerding, well, that's a term we got that kind of fits in with our podcast as the Disney Nerds, but a friend of mine, George Taylor, has the site Imagineerding.com, and tonight we're going to borrow that term because it fits. What we're going to do tonight is Imagineer or Imagineerd a new pavilion at Epcot. So earlier last week, we put a premise out. And when I say we, I'm talking about John, and I'm talking about John Capos and myself. We basically put together a couple of different ideas and picked one that we're going to assign to the other podcast hosts. And I'm going to read it right now. And basically, think of this as an assignment given to some employees working for the Disney company, the Imagineers, or in our case, the Imagineerds. So here we go. The premise is, with the upgrades to Soarin' and the new Norway exhibit, the WDW Epcot management team has decided that there has to be more done to get guest traffic away from those attractions and test track. The solution? Repurpose the Wonders of Life Pavilion. You must use your Imagineerding skills to come up with concepts for at least one thrill attraction, one family attraction, and a counter service restaurant and anything else you would like. Ideas will be presented on the next show. Note, basically we're going to throw ideas at each other and give ideas of what we came up with. We're going to discuss and maybe offer some further ideas to maybe like advance the idea, kind of have like a sweatbox session, kind of reminiscent to some of the old Imagineers. So what do you guys think? Have you come up with some ideas?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think we should remember, though, that when they do the blue sky kind of meetings, that it's always they're not allowed to say no or that's bad. So we have to all be very like, yes, and. What else can we do to make this awesome? So
terrible, terrible idea, Jennifer.
You suck at
this. You should turn in your nerd badge at the door.
Oh, no, I get plenty nerdy. Don't worry.
Okay, so the way we're going to handle this is we're going to go person by person, and they're going to present their ideas. And I guess we'll kind of just comment a little bit about them and see if we can either plus it or see if there's a little base on whether it'll work or not. I think for a matter of this presentation, we're going to suspend reality just a tad with technology because we're going to hopefully figure in the next 5 years to have this completed. So there might be things where we're reaching a little bit, but we'll have to take that with a grain of salt as we go. Okay, so does anybody want to start?
No.
I know, right? That's a tough one.
No, I don't care to. I don't care to. Mostly because I love Wonders of Life. I think that I was really, really upset about it for 10 years straight, maybe that it was closed. And it's only been closed, what, like 11 years? But I love it. So I thought about a couple different things. And actually, I was telling you guys off the air that I had a different idea altogether. And maybe we can do some honorable mentions or something at the end. But ultimately, I came back to a working title of Wonders of Life 2.0. We've got to come up with a better one. But everything I came up with had like Marvels in it, and then that would be really confusing because it's not Marvel related, though that would be fun. But I think it needs to be, or my version of it would be still about the human body and about, but not necessarily in the way that it was originally, how it works and the functions, more on self-care. And I remember thinking how frustrating it was that they were still using the Wonders of Life Pavilion as an expo, like a festival center, because in today's day and age, there's no reason we cannot get like a healthy living sponsor in there. So I don't think that they're trying, but,
oh yeah. And it's only open part time.
Right.
I mean, it's
and that's like the easiest. It's not like they're trying to get a sponsor to like promote smoking. Like it's the easiest thing to get a sponsor on board, either a sponsor that's like really doing, you know, whatever, a water company or something, or like McDonald's who might need a PR boost for healthy living. But anyway, I digress. So I'm not sure who the sponsor would be, but there's plenty of options out there.
Sure,
so
sure.
I would have, and I just basically have, I didn't replace certain things with other certain things, like as far as I don't have a place for this. I might need gutted completely to make this fit, but that's not my job anyway. So I have, and this has been mentioned other places on the internet, so I'm going to start with this one because I fleshed it out my own way, but Cranium Command-esque ride that's based, or not ride, but a show based on Inside Out. Specifically discussing Charlotte. Is that what you asked about Riley's name earlier? No, that's been all over. So I figured that wasn't too original. However, I wanted to discuss the importance of like allowing ourselves to have feelings, to share them and find help. Not like there's this Debbie Downer sort of like that commercial where you have like the black cloud over your head and you need to go find help, talk to your doctor. Not that, but like within months of this movie coming out, they had therapy programs developed for schools and things. So obviously the value is there. So I think that they make a show like that, and it could be hilarious because that movie is very funny. And then outside of that, also like an area with interactive like iPad or computer, some sort of tech games while you're waiting for the show to start that help kids explore emotions. And I have this game that's like a, I don't know, like Mensa brain, whatever, brain age kind of game. And there's like this idea that people are really bad at recognizing emotions in other people. So you could have that be kind of a game like to learn empathy. And I don't know. So I went even deeper into that, but it would be more about like the self-care part of emotional mental health. And it doesn't have to be quite as medical nerdy as that. Like it really could be done well with a good writing that I don't do.
Oh, sure. Well, I tell you what, a real quick idea that just came to me would be maybe part of Inside Out at the end, they showed adults being the type of characters in the brain. So you definitely could mix those in to keep the adults kind of into the ride too, or the attraction, and kind of go back and forth with ever the kind of humor is, or even those iPads, you can pick your age group.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, and there's certain things, yeah, that adults are maybe still struggling with, not just themselves, but as I said, like having empathy or good coping skills, this push for whatever, mindful living and relaxation and all that could tie in. So one thing I was thinking, though, the reason I went with that, in addition to that, I loved the movie and thought it was a good fit, but I think that it would be really important, whatever they do with this pavilion, to make sure they're using Disney properties. It sounds dumb, sounds obvious, but part of the reason that Cranium Command, I loved Hans and Franz, but right now, my kids would think they were the stupidest. They would hate Cranium Command because it was funny, because we all watched SNL and knew these characters and knew the concept, but it never could have lasted, even if they wanted it to. So I think you have to go with, it doesn't have to be classic Disney properties, but absolutely keep it themed to that. So my thrill ride, so to speak, would be, and this is, again, I basically just updated the shell that is Wonders of Life. It would be a Body Wars simulator. I actually was looking through, I don't know how much you guys have seen about, they proposed an Omnimover ride first, called The Incredible Journey Within, that was supposed to be adventures through inner space, where you'd ride through these scenes and learn about the body that way. But they had these problems that the set pieces would be too big to move, and I was thinking, even that's not that thrilling and it's not rewritable. So I ended up back with the simulator idea, although all the parts apparently are gone because they've been used to fix Star Tours. But whatever, they can come up with, it can be even cooler than Star Tours 2.0. But I think you could increase the rewritability like they did with Star Tours 2.0 to have each body system be a ride through. And I was thinking, it sounded not that exciting, but I don't know if any of your kids ever watched Magic Treehouse. Not Magic Treehouse, mm-hmm. No.
Magical Bus.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. There's a reason that those shows did well, and Magic Treehouse is a great book series too, but totally unrelated. You can have a conflict that's kind of silly, and you have to, whatever, get out or whatever the case may be, a problem that needs solved, so it's still exciting. And go through each system. But I do think it'd have to be more rewritable. That's another part of the old Wonders of Life that I'm just now admitting, that maybe it did need, that's probably it, just needed updating. But
sure. Now, you treat that just like Star Tours, where you're going to go on at this time, and guess what? The patient has a stomach virus, and you're going to go down in the stomach. The next time you're going to go on, there's a coronary issue, and you're going to end up going into the heart.
Exactly. And so even if you only did 11 body systems, you'd have to ride it 12 times. Not really. The odds are that you'd get a repeat. But still,
you could
ride it 11 different times and find new things or whatever. So, and most people are not going that often. So
that's cool. I like that.
And then the other stuff is really small. I'll skip to the restaurant last because I need help with that. But I also need a better title than Wonders of Life 2.0. But you guys can come up with that.
Right.
Or maybe a listener can. That'd be even better. But so I have a couple little things that fill the pavilion, I thought of it first, physical fitness challenges. But then I realized how ridiculous that would be for many people visiting, myself. I'm not going to want to do that. Or you'd have kids, competing in 50-yard dashes and hurting each other. So not that. But more I started thinking, my kids have these leap bands that were they're right frog, and they have it's to increase activity in children, and it's crawl hop like a bunny for 30 seconds. And they, even my almost eight-year-olds like that kind of stuff in short doses. So you could have silly activities that get families moving that aren't really about competition. And I was thinking you could have screens that interact with the character initiative type characters like Crush or the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor type stuff, where they're either interacting or doing it themselves or being cheerleaders or whatever. So I thought that would be fun. And then I was thinking sponsors too. You could have so many new gear or tech in physical fitness or health. You could have the newest workout machine, or there's the really cool stuff they're doing with 3D printing. I have a friend whose daughter, I guess the politically correct term is limb difference. So she has one arm that's shorter than the other, and they're printing her a hand that can do whatever she wants it to do, which is really cool. So I thought that would just be super cool to showcase stuff like that. And that would kind of get the future world part of it as well as the health. And finally, the restaurant, I couldn't really, this needs some help maybe, but you're not really mean. You have to be nice about it, Jimmy. And you'll actually like this because this is your baby at the Food and Wine Festival. Molecular Gastronomy.
Okay, there you go.
That's very cool. Back and listen to
it sounds
whatever.
Like a very, very progressive pavilion.
Right? But it would be, I thought that it would be you could do small, tapas style, small dishes or whatever to where you can try a variety of things. to kind of expand your horizons a little bit in what you're eating. And a lot of times it's like healthy and sustainable, but also it's just like creative food, as we saw. So I thought that would kind of tie in okay, but I have no names for anything. That's why I said it wasn't completely finished, but no names whatsoever, or terrible names, but
yours
that's
is,
my
yours
resilience.
Is way, way more complete than mine.
Oh, yeah, wait till you hear the rest of these. Well, that was, I found that one. That was a great, great
You do have concept art? Are you serious?
I don't think he really does. I don't think.
No, no, not for the not new, yet. But and for the old, there was a lot of information about the Wonders of Light Pavilion and how they were planning it out. What they wanted to put in there, and kind of what the workspace was in
there. To be fair, you had concept art for your new Epcot Pavilion.
True, I did. I did. India. Anyway.
A lot, but I don't know. I love that pavilion, and I was thinking, like I said, we can. If you guys don't hit on these, I can tell you like the like one word topics that I was looking at first. But I just can't imagine it being anything else. But I do understand that it would be better to tie it into. Things that are not as time, like, whatever, if you put jazzercise in there, or Zumba now, in 20, 30 years, like, is it going to be ridiculously stupid?
Well, right. The thing that comes to my mind is that nobody on vacation wants to exercise.
But, like, but if you do, like, health self-care stuff, you're already wanting to relax, and you're worried that you're going to need a vacation from your vacation, so if you add that stuff in there, like, I think that people could be getting that sort of health piece without even realizing it.
Oh, yeah, demos for what you do when you get back home and things
like
that.
When you walk off all your stolen.
Sure.
So have either any of you been to Epcot since they've added Colortopia and innovations?
No.
Yes. It is freaking incredible.
It's really cool.
And it's just a little ridiculous, like doesn't even take up much real estate. The first room you go into is just like this white circle. And they just broadcast these different lights into the room, but it changes the way everybody looks.
Awesome. Well, I tell you what, hang on to that thought, because I think we're going to touch base with that with some of the technology coming up.
Okay.
So very cool. Okay. Who wants to go next?
Well, so I was thinking so this is my grand idea. So Wonders of Life Pavilion, what they would do is during certain times of the year when Epcot is hosting these different festivals, which we've all decided are getting expanded even further and further to where eventually it's just going to cover the whole year.
Yeah.
So they would sell merchandise and do demonstrations in the Wonders of Life Pavilion.
So you'd be able to do Flower and Garden outside the Flower and Garden time frame? Or just how it is now?
No, just
with
the way it is now.
Oh, okay. Cool. So they make it more of a an official area for all this.
But permanent. Flower and Garden is only open on the weekends, believe it or not.
That's
kind of ridiculous. Like, yeah. I think it's a... Let me tell you.
So would you do like a best of? Like all the... Could you? I mean, they're practically the same anyway. Flower and Garden and Wine and Food.
Yeah, they're
So it would be just kind of like the... You have to rebrand it to have like one thing. But that's awesome to have like all of them. Just like the best of. The best things
together.
From each of them. Yeah.
Well, you could do that in the off season, but then during that festival, you would only have food and wine.
Switch it just to food and wine.
Kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
But once food and wine is done, then you're going to take half of that out or leave the best stuff and then add the 2016 stuff from the Flower and Garden.
I'll be honest with you. I think because it's only open on the weekends, I didn't go in there during Flower and Garden.
Right. Yeah, that was kind of lame. I heard that.
But I think it's a fantastic use of the space from what we've seen when we've been there for food and wine.
Well, I was just going to say they could use it better, though. And if it was permanent, they could, because they could break my heart and tear every bit of Wonders of Life out of it, you know, and then have all that space to put in permanent structures and, you know, as opposed to, like, blocking things off with curtains and...
Well, I'm going to say that's going to be kind of a problem or a bigger investment, because when we were there last for Food and Wine, I think we overheard a conversation or something about how, oh, no, it was that movie they showed about the setup for Food and Wine and Pavilion and things like that. And they actually are vendors that come from the outside to man all those different stations in there for the knives and the wood
and
the
wine. Yeah, they rent that space out, sure.
Only like the one or two stores that sells the Disney merchandise are actually Disney employees.
Yeah, like
so,
Cutco or whatever is all...
Right, all those extra third-party
Giardelli
companies and such. So you would have to make it a little bit more permanent, but I think
the
possibility of having food and wine stuff all year round, and having Flower and Garden all year round. And you know they're going to come up with a third festival because they just need to fill that spot.
Well, they get the holidays.
Oh, true. You're right. That is the third festival.
Yeah, Charlotte.
That's right. Very true. But then they should also utilize that more for the holidays then. Make that a more complete, like, shopping center for everything in the Epcot.
Ooh, like unique holiday market, like shop, like cool shopping stuff too.
That would be very cool. Right. A Christmas market. Yeah. I like that idea. I'm thinking when you're talking about having it for all food and wine for Food and Wine Festival, why don't you take one of those areas and make it a flower and garden section? So convince me to come back for flower and garden.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Yeah, and do vice versa for the other season. Convince me to come back for because, you know, some people only go for food and wine. Some people only go for flower and garden. So convince me to come back and show me what I'm missing at the other festival.
You could even have bounce back offers and stuff like that. Like they do the resorts, they offer bounce back offers.
Right.
But you could tie it into that and be like, you know what, you're here, it's flower and garden now. If you book a stay with us between these dates and for food and wine, we'll give you this type of discount or whatever.
Well, or even if you didn't want to go that crazy, you could do like, you know, the little gift cards that have the wrist thing or whatever, or those the sampler kind of lanyard that we got last time. Like buy this month's or whatever, buy this festival's lanyard and get the next one like cheaper, or free or whatever. Like,
oh, the locals would eat that up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Maybe too much. You're right.
Yeah.
I would say though, as you're saying that, like I love that idea, if only for that. That ice cream liquid nitrogen truffle thing that was at
That was great.
We went out of our way when we were in St. Louis because I saw this. Oh my gosh, it was the almond. I don't remember what it's called, but I had it like multiple.
Oh, I remember you talking about it.
I'm thinking about the didn't they have the? Are you talking Food and Wine?
Yes.
They had that flower that they put.
Oh, it's the same place. The same place. The flaming hibiscus or whatever. The smoke.
Right,
hibiscus.
Right. I did have.
You
that,
were conflicted because you didn't know whether or not to eat the hibiscus.
The truffle was.
Oh, it was great though. I'm glad I did.
We were in St. Louis recently, and I saw a place that had liquid nitrogen ice cream, and so we drove out of our way to go because I thought it was the same thing, and it's not. It was very cool. They made ice cream in like 30 seconds with liquid nitrogen. Like they poured the cream in and turned it into ice cream, but but it was not the same. So now I'm.
When Sam live streamed. What was it? The Star Wars fireworks dessert party? They did like chocolate mousse like that. They like scooped it in the thing with nitrogen.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, that might have been very similar. So this is ice cream, but it was like, I don't know, so good.
So it's basically chocolate mousse that they turned it into ice cream, I guess?
Maybe. And it was almost, and this is how I described it on that show too, like kind of crumbly, which would usually throw me off, but it was so delicious. It turned into like creamy, and they had like this whiskey caramel sauce on top of it, and oh my gosh, it was so good. I can't, like, dying.
Sounds delicious.
It better be back.
You're killing me.
I'm sure it will be. They usually bring the winners back.
Pavlov dog going on right now.
So the name could change from Wonders of Life to the Wonder of Festivals.
The Festival Pavilion.
Well, it's already.
My other idea was Dark Tower. And we can go
on
that.
Not work.
Why? It could be like the whole future. I mean, it's in future world. Stark Tech is all about the future.
Yes.
Sure.
And the company they're in now is yes, that's good. I like
it. Well, when we redo the Tower of Terror, I think you can grab it then.
Well, and you also can't do it until they figure out their stupid crap with everyone else in Florida.
True. They can't show all that superheroes.
I know.
Before we leave the food and wine thought or the idea of doing a festival in the pavilion, I think they need to spend more time and push a little bit more of the movies or the making ofs of the different festivals.
Yeah.
We were just lucky enough to go into the theater where they had that, and it was crazy good. And I still remember parts of it today that I can tell people about and talk about that was just really amazing. I think they do a better production film on that, and they put it in one of the bigger theaters. I think they can get people in and out of there. And then you just give it, you know, make it part of sampling. You get samples on the way.
Well, I think they have to have that, like, make it look better than it does. At least the last time we were in that pavilion, it was like, it looked, I felt like I had to be like Sam, like peeking behind a black curtain to even see what it was. It was just like this.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
It was like one little sign, and Kyle and I were like, that's probably so dumb. Like somebody probably just made them do that. You know, some sponsor or some something was probably like, you got to show this film, and they just shove it in this little black room. But then you said it was great, and I was kind of sad we didn't see it. So, yeah, they need to let people know that it's good.
Right, sure. So, yeah, hopefully they'll have it again next year. Yeah. Definitely recommend improving it.
Before we move on very quickly, the first meet is set for next year's Disney Nerds podcast, third annual Food and Wine Meetup. It's on Friday, October 7th. We will be having another meetup on Saturday, October 8th. We do have a few rooms left at the group discount. So if you're interested in coming to join us, give me a call. We also have group discounted tickets. The dining plan's available. It's all available at a pretty good discount. So if you're interested, just shoot one of us a message.
Since I missed last year.
You
Yeah, you take care of yourself. Whatever happened last year, just avoid everything
Absolutely.
You did last year.
This year's already going better, so I'll definitely
Good.
Be there.
Fantastic.
Knock on wood.
Well, that's it for our break. So now we're going to get back to Imagine Earning. And it's going to be between Charlotte and myself. You want to go, Charlotte?
Sure. I'm going to go because I really was doing all I could to not like burst out laughing every time Jennifer said something, because we were both on so much of the same page. I never ever got to experience Wonders of Life. We were never going to Disney before that. I didn't start. I wasn't a nerd until I started going myself and taking my kids. And so I never got to experience Wonders of Life. But I'm an RN, and that's what my background is health.
Me too.
And it bothers me that that's not there. And so I looked it up. I looked at old videos and read all about Wonders of Life and looked at what the old rides were. And honestly, I've gutted the old ride systems because I came up with some other stuff. But I am in so much agreement with Jen because there are so many sponsors. Why is there not any sponsors stepping up? I don't understand.
Looking. I know.
I don't think, they're looking.
Between
yeah.
pharmaceutical companies, insurance companies.
They're not looking.
No, that's it. Yeah. They probably had proposals, honestly, and they've.
You know what?
We need space for our festivals.
Investment. So it's easy. It's easy right now. We just talked about it. They monetize that area 50% of the year with basically no investment. So
yeah,
if they got to invest in all
true.
These attractions and then
so
get a sponsor,
true.
But they still have to put out all this cash when they have so much cash gone everywhere else in the Walt Disney World property.
Yeah.
So
well, okay. Yes, you're ruining it for the rest of us now. So let's forget that part of the money coming in.
So anyway. I really do believe that there needs to be a sponsor or multiple sponsors. It needs to get back to health and what, we are making so many great, amazing strides in health, and there are still so many people that are way behind in their knowledge of health and how to care for your body. So I came up with a couple of rides. My thrill ride, I titled it the Emotional Roller Coaster.
Love it.
Oh, nice.
And it is based on Riley from Inside Out's teen years. And so I kind of went and I saw what Cranium Command was and how that was, but I definitely want it to be different. I want us to go, we spiral down, we climb great heights. It just, you know how the teen years are, and I just think an emotional roller coaster of the teen years would be a great ride based on Inside Out, because the property, Jen was right, they need to stick with Disney property. That's what the people traveling there now want. And that's honestly probably why the Frozen Forever ride is going to do so well in Norway. I know the old Disney diehard people were upset about that, but new Disney people, they really like the Disney property in what they're seeing and doing. And so I really think that they have to bring more of that into, especially to this Wonders of Life Pavilion. So we have the Emotional Roller Coaster. That's our thrill ride.
Love that name.
Now, are they going to censor some of those parts, or what's going to happen?
Me and Ed both have teenage kids, so we could help you write that.
Oh, you remember, I'm a grandmother now, so.
And I'll just avoid it, because my kids are never going to be teenagers. So.
Never.
I'm never going to have to deal with any of that.
They're gonna Hold on to that.
They're going to have to move out when they're 12.
I already said that a long time ago. Send them off for somebody else to raise them.
Right.
I really
I'm scared.
I heard you say, are they going to have to edit it for teenage? the whole romantic thing, I kind of had this thought that the roller coaster goes through
a dark tunnel.
Well, it's a dark tunnel, but it turns red and it's all like, sirens and fireworks going off.
but you're going to have issues now with critics out there saying, well, you're going into a tunnel during the lovemaking period, so...
Okay, then no tunnel. Don't go in a tunnel.
I'm just saying.
No symbolism with a tunnel.
What are you jumping metaphor here, Charlotte?
That's actually a problem with the last, you know, with making of me people were bothered by it, so...
Yeah, everybody,
but that looks
and
cute.
Everybody's even way more offended these days than they were back then.
I know, right?
So true.
It'd be even worse.
I know.
Maybe it'd be like a literally going through the carnival ride with a couple like kissy noises as you're going through
like
it,
make
and moving on.
Right, it's yes. Very quick moving on. I mean, it is a roller coaster.
Right.
And then you have like little kids who are like, "Ooh, kissing!" You know, and they think it's like gross, and but everyone else gets it. So it's
right,
like,
sure. Exactly. So
cool.
Awesome. The next thing was, do you remember the movie? Was it Inner Space with
Martin Short.
With Quaid, right?
Yep.
And isn't it time for, if they're going to keep remaking movies, and it's time for a whole Fantastic Voyage and
this
Inner
like
Space
a
remake?
Be not
sure.
Not the ride. Like this is a movie that like a real movie. I
don't
know it.
Yes, okay.
Inner Space
was
a real movie and. He was all shrunk down.
We're all
and
showing our age right now. He's like, what? Hey, who's this Martin Short guy? Isn't he the guy in Canada?
I love Martin Short because of Canada and because of Jack Frost.
I think this was probably the early 80s, like maybe 83 or so.
Yeah, I'd say mid-80s.
There was
that
ride. Was the Interspace ride? I didn't see that. Like in, I think, Disneyland, right? But I think that was way old. So it's probably not related to the movie. They're probably totally unrelated.
Correct.
Never mind.
I think that was related to Fantastic Voyage, which was from the 60s. So the Inner Space was a remake of Fantastic Voyage, okay. Just twisted around. So
that's the one where you shrunk down and everything, like the microscope was like really big or something
yes,
like that?
Yes, you shrunk down and you got inside the body and you're in your little spaceship,
well,
which I guess what was
right,
Body
Fantastic.
Wars, right?
Yeah, very similar.
Seven.
Yeah.
So... Since they're remaking everything, let's go ahead and remake an Inner Space Fantastic Voyage movie and put that property into this pavilion and make it, instead of like Body Wars ride, because to me it looked like it maybe was on the Star Tours thing.
Yeah.
Was it that
exact,
kind of simulator?
Wait, yes.
The exact one.
Okay.
They literally take the parts from it when they need to fix Star Tours. I wasn't joking. Like, that's how similar they are.
I know a lot of people can't ride that. It causes, you know, a lot of people really can't ride that. So I'm thinking more of a gliding ride, like the Ellen's Universe of Energy, how that's so
yep.
that glides so nicely across the floor.
Sure.
So... basically, you're gliding through the body, and maybe instead of in a, you know, you're not in the bloodstream. Maybe you're on a neuron or a nerve ending or
well,
something, because, you know, floating through a bloodstream would not be pretty.
I tell you what, let me throw this idea at you. Take another ride, The Adventures of Pooh, Winnie the Pooh ride.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know how that vehicle is floating through the water at some points. At other points, it's hopping like Tigger.
That would be good.
And you have a vehicle that basically mimics flowing through the bloodstream. Now you have a vehicle that kind of is a little blowing back and forth because you're throwing through the lungs, perhaps. So, yeah, definitely.
I love that
control.
Idea.
That's the wire in the floor thing.
Side note, is Inner Space good? Should I watch it?
Yes.
You should watch
yes.
it.
But is it
1987,
like...
1987, Dennis Quaid, Meg Ryan, and Martin Short.
So,
yeah.
So I'm not going to like it because it's going to be a straight-up 80s movie, right? But I'll watch it.
No, nothing to do with 80s. Nothing
no,
to do with
no,
you
no,
really
no,
like
no.
it. You'll like it.
All right.
Martin Short plays a nerd.
I like
Dennis
Martin
Quaid
Short
is a test pilot who gets shrunk down and accidentally injected into Martin Short, and Martin Short gains confidence from that, and
right.
humor pursuit
All right.
ensues.
I put it on my watch list right now.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, good. So we have our family ride, which is this, you know, through the body, and maybe this ride system that... the Pooh ride system. I really think that's a good idea. And I really like this because, honestly, before I ever thought about going to nursing school, because, honestly, my plan was to go to medical school.
We're like the same person, Charlotte.
That's great. We definitely will.
For some reason, she gets none of your references.
Okay, well, valid.
Well, it's because we're separated by the Mason-Dixon line, and I think
that might
have something to do with
Jennifer's
it.
Like, Jennifer's like 23.
I'm not.
She doesn't even get my references.
Some.
She's a baby.
Yeah. So I did text Jimmy the other day because I thought Air Supply and Starship were the same band.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's a tough one there. Oh,
I'm really feeling like a grandma.
I mean, I knew they weren't the same, but I can't tell you which one's which, so.
Oh, God. So, I grew up here in Atlanta, and we have the High Museum of Art, and I can remember a field trip when I was in late elementary school that was down at the High Museum of Art, and it had to do with the body, and it was the most amazing technological thing that I had ever seen at my young age. And I can remember we walked through things like the ear, and you could see how the bones in the ear worked, and you could feel the roughness of the tongue, and your scent gland. Your scent glands worked. Different scents, different textures. It was really immersive. And when I went to nursing school, I could still recall some of those things that, I remember exactly how many bones are in the body because of that. Not because I had studied so hard, but because of that, that I had experienced.
Especially if it has a catchy song.
Exactly. The catchy song, the lights that you know, lure you in. And I really think that it's needed. These kids need that. And, you know, we would be a much healthier place in the world if we would just teach them. And so some of the little things that I thought about doing was a fact or fiction kind of area. So, about germ spreading kind of things or is this contagious or, you know, things that a lot of people just don't think
like
about.
A myth kind of. Yeah, fact or fiction.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah, cool. I like that. So kind of break some of the stereotypes and stigma of some things and get rid of the fiction of it and show what fact is. And it's like a game. So you can go through and you can, you know, hit the button or punch things or do the wall or whatever. So it's kind of like a little maze of things that people should know health-wise and body-wise, but a lot of people don't. And the last thing was, this was more for the older group. I don't know if you ever watched Dr. G, Medicine Woman. She is the county coroner for down there. And I can remember an episode that I watched when she said that more heart attacks happen at Walt Disney World than many places in the entire world. And it's reported different because people come to visit there and they don't live there. So because it's tourist town, it's not listed as it being a high capita for heart attack area because they don't live there. But because people are putting in so much walking hours when they're sedentary lifestyle and the way they eat, I mean, it could really be a great place for just kind of like, did you realize you're walking 30,000 steps today? Or how much water have you drank?
When I go down, I go on Mission Space, the good side. That's my heart test. That's my cardiac test every time, just because of the issues they had in the early days. I figure if I made it through it this time, I'm good for another year.
So
that's a really risky way to test yourself, Ed.
I don't even know about that, Ed. That's crazy. But so finally, the last thing was my counter service restaurant, and I called it You Are What You Eat.
Cute.
And so
cannibalism.
Not eating kale, Charlotte.
Cannibalism. What's up with that?
No, but, you know, a lot of people still go on that old food pyramid chart. And so this could be a color-coded, self-serve buffet restaurant with the new food pyramid chart. Plus, each of the items could say things like, you know, carrots help with your eyes, or sweet potatoes are great for capillary health. It could just wake people up to the things that, you know what we put in our body is what we're going to get out of our body. And it could open people's eyes up to some better,
nice,
better food choices.
Like it.
Now, I tell you what, another thing popped into my head is just far as presentation. I'd love to see that restaurant come with trays that have specific size, like spots in them, and then you're going to go get the vegetable that you're going to have with the meal, and that's going to be a red plate. And then you're going to get the sandwich that goes with that meal. Okay. That's going to be a blue plate. The dessert's a purple plate, and your drink is whatever.
Well, even if you
and
just...
then that way...
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Sorry, I cut you off. You're...
I know. And that way, basically, you know you have all the items you need. When you go to the cash register, she knows you have all the items you're supposed to get.
Sorry, you
and
can't
you get
check
through the line really quick.
You don't need vegetables yet. Or you could put it on, like, the My Plate thing that the kids are learning about now versus the pyramid and have everyone, like, shocked and arguing with you when I'm supposed to fill, like, 60% of your plate with vegetables. Like, what? Who does that? So, yeah. That'd be fun.
Right. Well, whatever the current right plan is, they basically base the restaurant on that.
Well, and then when it changes, like when it went from the old pyramid to new pyramid to introducing My Plate and all this other, then you have a, you know, exhibit is the wrong word, but like an attraction kind of teaching about the new whatever it is.
Sure. If it lasts that long, it'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. The new pyramid?
Yeah. But I like it.
Okay.
So that's what I've got.
Excellent. Very good. Okay, so we have one more to go, and that's going to be mine. And my thinking about this one was that the first I went over trying to improve the wonders of life and keeping with the body, and then I kind of went away with that idea. I figured we want to incorporate this part of the park, this part of Epcot, into a more of a space atmosphere. We have Mission Space, we have Spaceship Earth, and we have Universe of Energy. Now, Universe of Energy does touch on space a little bit, and, you know, of course, energy. Mission Space, you basically are getting the whole idea of how to get to Mars. You're not really getting the whole idea about the space itself or universe and things like that. And Spaceship Earth, you're getting the whole story and kind of little things about space toward the end. So, basically, my pavilion is going to incorporate all those different ideas, but give you a more immersive space experience. The first exhibit I have is the working title right now is Humans in Space.
I love it.
So basically, this exhibit starts out with a pre-show room where they'll have some TVs going with whatever pre-show we have talking about it. Also, what's going on is the kids are building themselves telescopes. These telescopes are very simple plastic put together type of telescopes. Think about those robots they used to have and inventions that they used to make out of pressed plastic beads. And you then put together the pieces. They went together super easy, and they're really durable. The lenses of these telescopes are going to be the special 3D lenses you normally use with your glasses when you go into the theaters for the 3D shows. So you get led into the theater itself, and basically you're going to be getting into another type of Ellen's Energy Adventure car. It's not going to be as big, but it's going to fit probably about 50 people. And the idea of this attraction is that the room's going to go dark, and then you're going to hear the description of how astronomy began from the beginning, why we started looking at the stars, and each of the storylines will start out with a little circle of light that all the kids or anybody with a telescope can be able to use their telescope to see that light as they're listening and see what's going on. And then that circle is going to expand to the screen, and you'll hear the end of that story. So we'll hear about Galileo, we'll hear about Copernicus, we'll hear about the major advances in the solar system, the universe, the galaxies, things like that. So up until we get to the Hubble. I figure you can have probably three big rooms that would have a car each that would then, and the car itself would kind of move around the room. So you'd feel the movement in the dark as you go to the next section. And again, I'm kind of thinking of Ellen when you go into that one room when you're hearing the guy on the radio talking about the timeline and things like that. So that would be the one attraction.
That's like, I love the educational part of that too. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm hoping is kind of like you still want to teach something and you want to kind of have kids walk away with this. Now, for the pavilion itself, sponsor wise, I'm looking for NASA, which unfortunately they need money as much as everybody. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps some companies like that make satellites, because a couple of the other attractions I'm going to talk about do use some satellite technology. Maybe Lockheed Martin.
What about the guy that
Richard Branson?
No, the guy. Yeah, well, that's sure. The guy that owns
Amazon.
No, the car, the all-electric car.
Oh, Elon Musk, the Tesla.
Yeah, Elon Musk, Tesla, yeah.
Sure.
He's supposed to be working on, like, space travel and return.
So is Jeff Bezos from Amazon. Yeah, you could do all three of those. They could fight over it because they all fight anyway. Have them outbid one another. Have them outbid one another. You get a ton of money.
That could be attraction itself. We'll just have debates on various topics.
That's cool.
I like it.
Okay, cool. So now we'll take a break and go back out into the main area. And the Wonders of Life Pavilion is pretty cool inside. It's got that white ceiling, and it's got that really nice arc that comes down and the circular feel to it. Well, you know what we're going to do on that every half hour? We're going to do a light show, picture show, similar to what they do on the castle at the Magic Kingdom. What's the name of that show?
Celebrate the Magic.
Right, where it is very crisp, specific pictures, animations, and we're going to do a show every half hour. It's only going to last a couple minutes. The lights aren't going to go all out, so people aren't going to be tripping over each other. But because of the technology, the pictures are going to show up very well on the ceiling. And we're going to see things as maybe the Big Bang, where everything explodes all over the sky. Or we're going to see a fly-through of our solar system, perhaps, from the sun out past all the planets. Something relatively a minute, 2 minutes long, but gives an idea of what the expanse of the galaxy and space is like. And what's cool about this attraction, it's going to tie in a little bit to my restaurant, too, down the road.
I love that idea. Do you have more on that specifically, or are you going to the...
No.
I love that, because they take, like, I don't know if... I know we had an early one, but it's been around for so long that I feel like this, most Disney stores now have, like, the stuff on the wall that looks like a mural, and then it'll, like, come to life. So you're, like, walking around the store, and all of a sudden there's a... you know, that's like Doug and Russell and Carl Fredrickson floating down on balloons, or you'll see Tinkerbell flying through. So it's like that meets all these projection shows, meets the animation building in Disneyland. It's like just really cool, kind of turning the building into like a slate, which I think is awesome.
Oh, exactly. And you can do so many different things with that, even up to announcements. Think of it kind of like WALL-E, where you have the cruise ship. So even inside the interior is kind of that white kind of, what am I looking for? Not antiseptic, but very clean cruise-like look to it. And even the ceiling has that. And even an announcement of an exhibition starting in a couple minutes with a person big square up on the big ceiling. Yeah, they could do a lot of things with that. So the second attraction I had is kind of a nod, I guess, toward the Ellen Universe of Energy exhibit, where we're going to go into a theater that kind of looks like the Stitch Theater over the Magic Kingdom. So it's a circular theater. We've got a center stage, and we've got the ceiling. The ceiling itself is going to be more of a picture screen or a big TV screen, movie screen, whatever we're going to use. And the seats, instead of having something over your shoulders, they're going to actually, when you sit down into them, actually recline back a little bit. So you're going to be able to kind of lean back just a tad and be able to look at the ceiling. That's going to be our main focus. We're going to hear how satellites are helping our world in a lot of different ways. From the satellite views of the Earth, we're finding different things as far as different types of fuel. So we'll spend a couple minutes talking about the different ways we can see that, which touches directly on the Ellen Energy Adventure. But we're going to use today's technology, and we're going to see the oil fields. We're going to see the natural gas, wherever it's going to be, or whatever other types of energy we can find from space. I think they can find oil under the ocean even, so it's just amazing what they can do now. The tool used for archaeology, that's an incredible field right now that's immensely waking up, because you can see through levels of Earth now with different types of satellites that look through radar and different types of forms of light and energy, and that'll help that. And also, you can use the satellites for troubleshooting. So we're going to see in this exhibit different pictures from space, Google Earth-type pictures, and some hopefully live-action pictures toward the end of it, because our satellite sponsor company has given us 2 minutes for every show, or not even, say 15 seconds of every show of live view from space. So now it's not really accessible today. This is one of those 5 years from now technology, but all the government agencies are advertising how they could see live-action things going on from the satellites in space. So we're going to have a little show on top of the pavilion where our guest or volunteer is going to have their name flashed on the ceiling while the satellite picks it up.
Cool. That's cool.
So that's my attraction. The name for that one, I don't know. Where are the resources? Help us find the resources. Eye in the sky. So we can kind of go over different things like that. I'm sure that the PR guys will have something in that regard. Another thing for outside in the main area of World of the Wonders of Life Pavilion, and that's the other thing, is as far as a name for this place goes, Future Pavilion, there's a couple others I was throwing around, but nothing really, the Sky Pavilion, the Future Pavilion.
The Sky Pavilion has a good ring to it, I like it.
I do, I like the sound of it, and maybe because I do have something else that might tie into that more. Well, anyway, another exhibit I want to have around inside there for people to do between going into attractions and the restaurant are these extra size, how best to explain it, but telephone booths, if you remember what those were, Jen.
I think our payphones.
Hey, it's Epcot.
Right, exactly. I actually don't know that I've been in a telephone booth, but I have plenty of payphone experience in my life.
Oh, sure. Well, anyway, now, and a telephone booth, now that's actually going to be a little small. I want to have something big enough that you can have four people standing inside of it. Now, if you've seen Tomorrowland, the movie, this is going to help out a lot more because there's a part of the movie where they're in what they call the tachyon monitor, and that's where the girl in the movie is moving that big trackball around, and everything's zipping around, and she's also to the point where she can go forward and backward in the future in time. So this little booth now, you're going to go inside of it, and you'll have some options that you're going to, A, pick the region of the country or the world you want to be in. B, you're going to pick your circumstances. Is this going to be a circumstance in conservation or ecology, so you could basically help the planet by lessening carbon emissions? Or is this more so like a population? Is this more so going to be different criteria so that you move the trackball, you're going to move ahead in time on that region of the country. And the entire booth around you has the camera set up so it's projecting everywhere, ceiling, walls, so you are immersed in that area and what's happening. So in Tomorrowland, you see what happens in her house, where it goes from a disaster and the world ending to it flashes to a really nice area. I think that we actually have the technology now to do something like this. And of course, it would be interchangeable, and all you would have to do is load a new program into the projectors and the computers in this exhibit. You can kind of move on and do almost anything with it.
I thought at first when you said that projections were all around, I was thinking you were projecting that stuff on those projections out in the main area, and I'm like, so everyone's watching you do all this, all make all these choices, even though you can't see them. But then I
And we could do something similar to that, where perhaps we take a picture of everybody in the booth, and that picture goes up kind of around maybe the edge of the entire pavilion, kind of like in Spaceship Earth, when your picture goes up the big map.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the potential for that, definitely. I have one last attraction, because I didn't have really a thrill ride attraction. I actually kind of fudged the rules a little on this one, so dock me the pay. However, I did come up with another attraction, and this one's relatively simple in that it's going to be a Circle Vision movie. However, we're going to improve the technology in that this is going to be a 3D Circle Vision movie, and then instead of having lean rails, which you can't lean on, you're going to have fully immersive lean rails where you're going to basically be sitting in them, leaning in them, and strapped into them. So you'll have control with joysticks that will let you turn around in the room. Not fast enough to get sick, but slow enough amount to move as you were turning around in your Circle Vision theater yourself. So you'll see what I was talking about, the small shows inside the main dome, where you're going to see some bigger shows inside there. You will be in the middle of the Big Bang as everything explodes and expands out. You're going to be in the middle of the sun. You're going to be in a comet. You're going to be in a spaceship going to the moon. So there's so many different things you can do and see in this totally, again, immersive experience for a group of 100 people, as opposed to the booths where it was like more of a private four-person type thing. Mm-hmm. And finally, the restaurant, because I'm going way too long. I don't have a name for the restaurant, but it's going to definitely be in the center of the pavilion, kind of like where that Goofy movie was and the Wonders of Me movie were. The restaurant's going to be in there, and we're going to use a similar design as Chef Mickey's. So we're going to have a wide-open ceiling. There's no ceiling at all, so that every half hour we get to watch the light show in the ceiling, too, while we're eating.
That's cool.
And the restaurant itself is going to have – and this is where it's going to get a little touchy, because we're going to have the chefs get involved in this decision. But basically, the idea was to have, around the world, we have a lot of different space agencies going into space between China, United States, England, Spain, France. So there's a lot of different people
involved. And
in theory,
private travel.
True. Very true. So we'll be doing things like that. We'll touch base with that later. But for these guys, they all go into space with their types of food. They want to have comfort food. They want to be able to taste home. And what we're going to do is serve meals that we kind of pick from each of these different countries. And you can go ahead and buy those and you'll have them. The special part about this is that you're also going to get a small sample of the space version of that meal in the plastic packaging and with the directions that tells you how to open it, operate it, put the water in, heat it, whatever you need to do. So you can either have it at lunch with you there, or you can walk away with that sample. Or perhaps we'll do just sample desserts, where it'll be just the space desserts. Because, of course, space ice cream is always a blast, but they've got to have other types of things. So you kind of get the really good food you expect at Disney, but you also get kind of a nice little sample that's so cool to take with you. Yeah, definitely. Now, my first idea was just to have food that way, where you would just go in the bins and you'd pick out your tube of, like, beef-flavored spread and your, you know, your whatever. And I was like, well, no one's going to pay for that at Walt Disney.
Maybe one thing as a souvenir, but not going to, like, fill up on it.
Right, exactly. So let's go with the really good meals, and then let's just get the small version. Like, how would you like to get a really cool, like, cheeseburger in a freeze-dried, wrapped, you know, item that all you do is you add water to it, or even better yet, the way it's made is you just open it, the air gets into the heating element, and it heats it up automatically for you, and you get to eat it. Again, the idea was basically, let's tie in some of these other pavilions into an area that people can go into that doesn't really have, hopefully, a lot of lines, has a lot of opportunities for them to do things. Walking around, there's going to also be merchandise, you know, things for sale, demonstrations. Perhaps I'd love to have Bill Nye perhaps be the main host of the entire pavilion, although that could be something that might be dated in 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. Although
he came back around, actually. I grew up with
I was going to say that, sure, right? But the flip side is he's been in Ellen for how many years, and that hasn't slowed down either. So that's basically what I got.
Love it. Very cool.
Space was one of my, like, original, like, when I was trying to think of just, like, ideas to start with. Yeah, I was thinking, like, space, or in, like, weather, which could be related, like, air and space. If you did, like, not just space, although I love your use of, like, satellites and stuff, that really expands space to not just, like, rocket ships, you know, but, like, but you could either air and space or, like, air and weather, and then the other ones were, like, a history of transportation, or not just history, but history and future of transportation, which would be fun, but.
Sure.
I thought,
yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot of different things you could do, hopefully with the same types of setups. I mean, just from all our ideas, you could definitely figure out some better uses for the Wonders of Life.
Well, and there's technology, too. Like, as Charlotte was talking about, you know, you guys were talking about the gliding thing versus the Winnie the Pooh kind of ride. I was coming across, there's, like, a Wikipedia article that's fascinating. It's, like, all of the things that have been publicly, like, announced or worked on for all the Disney parks and resorts and then never came to be. And one of these things was this proposed bullet train ride in the Japan Pavilion, or I thought it said, somebody said Tokyo Sea, but I think it was actually in the Japan Pavilion, or at least it should have been, where you stand in, like, a simulated bullet train. So you can imagine that it's, like, moving like a bullet train, or maybe it's just part of that, like, optical illusion vestibular stuff where it's like the windows make you think you are. And as you go, you pass, like, fake, you know, not projections, like a castle projection, but like a movie projection window.
Oh, like Japan.
Japan. I'm like, that's so cool. It's very like Circle cool. Vision, but more like immersive and more almost thrill ridey. But then, you know, you also would have motion sickness probably. But I think that sounded really fun. I'm like, that'd be so cool. So you could either use that technology in a transportation place or just use the technology anywhere else, because you could float through the body and float through space. And I mean, you could use it basically anywhere.
We could make the magical school bus. Disney, buy that property, right?
Right.
Just buy that property, Disney, and just let's have a magic school bus.
And you can almost use that idea anywhere, in that you just kind of have to design some type of device that you'd be traveling in. Remember the old Norway movie? And you're walking through that center square where they have all the flowers on left and right and the food they're selling and things like that. Yeah. Well, you just travel the entire movie through that way in, like, your private car or something like that, or carriage. Mm-hmm.
And then you add, like, scent stuff, like 40-cent stuff. That'd be really cool.
Oh, of course. Right. Of course.
That'd be awesome.
Okay. Well, excellent, guys. Thank you very much for those ideas. And now, for everybody listening, what are your ideas?
You can email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Check us out on Facebook, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, on Twitter at the Disney Nerds, and on Instagram at the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Okay, guys. Well, again, thank you very much for those ideas. They were great. For everybody listening, thanks for tuning in again, guys. Without you, the show wouldn't be possible or worth doing. So, for Jennifer, Charlotte, Jimmy, and this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Quiet reading.
Just keep swimming.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free.
So hurry back, we